We're going to be in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, where we're going to spend our time in an area of Israel that was at one time called Samaria. Now, I think you all know that, but the name Samaria means watchtower, has high hills in the area, and it means watchtower, derived from the ancient city of Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now remember that Israel today includes Samaria, includes Judea, includes Benjamin. It includes all of Israel of old, but in those days there was Israel and Judea, two kingdoms. It was a kingdom derived from the split of the nation that took place after the death of Solomon. Remember that? Remember Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who lost northern Israel to Jeroboam. Jeroboam was basically a rebel who fought the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, and was victor over the northern kingdom, which he called Samaria. Now, Samaria was bounded on the south by Judea, on the north by Galilee, on the west by the sea called the Mediterranean. Remember that Mediterranean Sea, big sea. And then on the east by the Jordan River. So it had very well-defined boundaries. Now, the Jews of Jesus' day, instead of traveling through the despised district of Samaria, would choose to go the long route of crossing the Jordan in order to bypass the hated Samaritans. Picture that in your mind, coming from the Galilee area, Nazareth area. Instead of going the easy way, they would go all the way across the Jordan, come around the Jordan, come over by Jericho, and then up to Jerusalem. So they did that because of the animosity and hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews. You know, I remember while living in Chicago as a young child, that's a long time ago, always avoiding certain neighborhoods as we traveled from place to place. You didn't want to go through this neighborhood, especially at night. I remember I had a job, just occurred to me, and when I had the job, it never occurred to me how this could be dangerous, but I used to operate a mosquito spray truck. Can you imagine that? Now, in those days, mosquito repellent was spread by kerosene, and it would make the biggest puff of smoke, and all the children would love to ride their bikes through it. So they would take their shirts off, and they would be filled with kerosene and mosquito repellent. And they would just be loving it because it was so smoky and so on. But anyway, I used to drive those trucks through the alleyways of some of these neighborhoods in Chicago. Can you imagine that? But nobody paid attention to me. Nobody messed with me because I was driving this truck full of kerosene embedded mosquito repellent. So, there's nothing new in bigotry, for in our day we have anti-black and anti-white, anti-Semites, and in that day they had anti-Samaritans. Now, remember where these Samaritans came from. They were brought into the land from other nations by the king of Assyria, after the 10 tribes had been taken away in the captivity about 700 years prior. You know, the Jews from Israel, in that captivity, they They were captive and they never came back. Now, the folks from Judah, they came back, but they're called the lost tribes, the 10 lost tribes. But their religion, the Samaritans' religion, was a combination of the beliefs they had brought with them and the Jewish law and the fear of the Lord. The Samaritans received as divine the 5 books of Moses and some of the prophetic writings, but they rejected the historical books written by the Jews, who were their worst enemies. Now in John 10:16, Jesus said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Now, I could ask for a show of hands if you're glad that Jesus said that. You know why? We're part of that. We're part of that other sheep. He didn't include only the Jews, his chosen people, but he said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." So the practice of the Jews not traveling through Samaria meant nothing to Jesus. He was not a bigot. He was not prejudiced. But it meant nothing to Jesus, for in John 4:4, we are told, "And he must needs go through Samaria." He did not need to go through Samaria because of geography. The Lord's must needs were always based upon spiritual reasons. You know, it's interesting when you think about how much your mind is involved in spiritual things. Jesus' mind was involved in spiritual things 100% of the time. And how much is our mind devoted to that? Oh, very little. You know why? Sinful heart. Sinful heart. But the Lord's must needs were always based upon spiritual reasons. This was the Father's will, and Jesus was in the business of carrying out the Father's will. You know, parents, I tell this to my grandchildren all the time. Somebody asks you, "Well, what do you want to do?" Well, wait a minute. Is that a proper question for a young person? No. The question is, what does God want me to do? You see? What does God want me to do? So train your children to ask that question. That's a spiritual question. You know? Yes, you may, your child may want to go to mission school, but is that what God wants him to do? Oh, yes, of course. Yes, of course. Well, how do you know? My child wants to be a Christian school teacher. Well, does that what God wants to do? How do you know? See, you seek God's will, like Jesus Christ always did, carrying out the Father's will. There were other sheep in Samaria. There was a sinful woman in Samaria. There was a thirsty woman in Samaria. Not thirsty for the water from the well, but thirsty for everlasting life. You know, some of God's elect were there, and Jesus went to Samaria to seek them out and to save them. There were lost sheep, and Jesus was the shepherd who had the must needs to find them. So let us read in chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 of John. What a wonderful gospel the book of John is. Try to read it several times a year. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Joseph, of course, had Ephraim and Manasseh, so that was the area where those tribes lived when they came into the land. And here it's called Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. You mean to tell me that Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, is weary? Yes, he's weary. Why is he weary? Because he occupies a human body. He occupies a human body. You know, he had tears. He had emotions because he occupied a human body. So he thus sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A teenager. Any teenager wants to offer me what time it was at the sixth hour? Oh. Okay, I'll raise it to a 20-year-old and above. 20 to 30.
Oh.
None? I bet the pastor knows. No, I'm not going to put you on the spot at all. Huh? Noon. It was noon. Their day started at 6 o'clock in the morning because that was around the time the sun came up. So it was noon, and after a morning of travel, they would start at sun up and travel. So he was traveling probably 6 hours or more. On those old dust, you know, they didn't have paved roads. Can you believe it? No paved roads in Israel at that time. All the roads were dusty. All the roads were rocky, stony roads. Jesus came to the well that Jacob had built some 1,750 years or so before. Can you imagine that? That well was there servicing people 1,750 or so years, seeking refreshment from the fruit of Jacob's labor performed so long ago. So Jesus, in weariness, sat on the well at noon in the heat of the day. You know how in the summertime, playing ball in the heat of the day, mowing the grass in the heat of the day, you want something to drink. But you know, Jesus had nothing to draw with, for he intended to seek help. You know, Jesus could have commanded the water to come up to him. He could have said, "Water, rise. And I'll drink you like a fountain down the hall." But you know, he intended to seek help. The sun that he had created beat down upon him, while the cool water that he had brought into existence flowed beneath him. He was thirsty. But instead of satisfying his own need, he waited for the one that he was determined to meet and to satisfy her thirst by bringing to her the water of the well of living waters. That was our Lord. You know, that's our Lord. Sat at the well, the sun beat down, had no cup to reach in or a bucket to go down and get the water. But he put himself in a need to be helped in order to help. So he must needs go to Samaria, and this must needs is about to be realized. A good cold cup of water would be so appreciated by the Lord but he wanted to give opportunity to a needy soul to serve him. Now listen to that principle. You know, that's the way we operate in the scriptures. He gives us the opportunity to serve him because we're a needy soul. You know, I remember well, while scouting the houses of Pace, I had the area of Pace for our bus ministry back in the 1970s. Believe it or not, this place was crawling with yellow buses. Those were horrendous days. But crawling. That's right. Mr. Hughes was responsible for keeping them going. But several of us men had bus ministry routes. And my route was Pace. And I would go in Pace by Shemuckler Road. What's it going down to the water the other way? Florida Town Road. And I would knock on doors and, oh, okay, I'm not interested, not interested, not interested. You know, you probably knocked on 50 doors to have someone interested. But I remember those days, and I was given a cup of cold water by an elderly woman upon whose house I knocked. You know, that was such a simple thing that occurred then, but it's something that has never left my mind. It just shows you that you don't have to have a gift of $10,000 to impress you. But when it's hot, when your face is dripping with, I'll use the word perspiration, and this lady is good enough to give me a cup of cold water, she realized that I was a servant of the Lord. But what refreshment that was, not only for the body, but for the spirit. You know, as I went from house to house, no one else was so kind. And I remember hardly any other house that I visited, but I do remember that lady giving me a cup of cold water. But the principle here that's interesting that Jesus Christ used is that we let another help us. Now, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, no, no, I don't need any help. I don't need any help. You know why we say that? Because when we get help, we think we're obligated to give back help. But the principle that Jesus used here is to let another help, for in that relationship, there can be easily be an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now, in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 4, we read, "There cometh a woman of Samaria." Oh, I wonder if she's thirsty. "But there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." Now, in case you don't know, young people, when you draw water, you're bringing it up. You're bringing it up. You're not drawing it on paper. You're bringing it up. "Now Jesus saith unto her, please give me to drink." No, give me to drink. Very authoritative. "For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." John brings that in. Now, the woman of Samaria has a need for water, for she is thirsty. Her clothes need washing. Her house needs cleaning. You know, water is, what a gift water is. How it supplies so many, many needs. But her need for water is a daily need which she must try to satisfy by coming to Jacob's well every day for a new supply. Little does she know that the true well awaits her to satisfy her thirst in a way she never dreamed of. You know, without Christ, we always operate on the things that we can see and touch and taste, the senses that God's given to us. She never dreamed that there was water that would never cause her to be thirsty. Now, Jesus was at the well first. He came to the well to do the thing that he had been sent to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus puts the thirst in a soul to come to the well. Now, that's an interesting thing also. He put a thirst in that woman. Now, we do not naturally seek the water of the true well. There has to be a thirst inserted in the soul. You know, I don't know what God did in my case, but there was a thirst in the soul that brought me to Christ. Now, Jesus, the true well, came to Jacob's well with a purpose. The Father was drawing this woman of Samaria to himself. The woman knew that her thirst had to be satisfied by coming to a well, but all she knew of wells was the well of Jacob. That's all she knew. Had no idea about water you would take that you would never thirst again. She only knew physical wells. Wells that you can see and touch and draw water from. Wells not requiring faith. Little did the woman know that this would be the day of salvation in her life. Little did she know that this was the day when she would meet the living well out of which she would draw living water. She came at noon, sixth hour. Remember that? Sixth hour. What hour is the 12th hour? Huh? What hour is the 12th hour? 40 and above? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. But she came at noon because she knew by habit that the well would be deserted. Now, why would you want to come to a deserted well? Any decent woman got her water the first thing in the morning. Doesn't that make sense? She put that pot on her head, had a little pad there, put the pot on her head, walked to the well early in the morning when it was cool. Got the water for the day, brought it back home, used it for washing things, used it for cooking things, used it for drinking. But that was the decent women would go early in the morning. So, what was the matter with this woman who came to the well at noon? Well, this woman was not part of the decent crowd. You know the decent crowd, don't you? But you know, Jesus came to meet her and she wasn't part of the decent crowd. Ought to be a lesson to us. Ought it not? For her reputation was ill and she knew it. This is a great revelation for a sinner to know that they are ill. You know, it takes a lot for a person sometimes to know that they're a sinner, and some never come to that conclusion. She knew her state, but this was the time for her to meet God. This was not a chance meeting of two people. This was no accident that she came to the well when Jesus was sitting there alone and no other distractions were present to steal away the seed of the Word of God. All planned. All planned. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." Oh, I would imagine he said it kindly. I didn't mean to infer that he was mean about it, but he was thirsty too. She then asked in verse 9, maybe she was indignant, I don't know, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me?" Now, remember, she was a Samaritan, probably hated Jews, wondered why this Jew was sitting at the well. Here she is there because the women speak ill of her, but she still has that prejudice. "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" And John inserts commentary here, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. In other words, Jews and Samaritans do not use vessels in common. But you know, when I was a boy, we had common vessels to drink water from. And outside by the spigot, there was a bucket, and there was a cup with a handle on it? Ladle. There was a ladle there that sat in the bucket, and you would go and drink from the ladle, and it would go back in the bucket, and anyone in the family, maybe a passerby, would drink with that ladle. Nobody thought twice about it. You know, we were tough in those days. And we got a lot of immunity from it. Nowadays, oh, you can't touch this, you can't touch that, you can't do this, you can't do that. But in other words, Jews and Samaritans do not use vessels in common, not because of sanitary reasons, but because they're Jews and Samaritans. Somehow a Jew would touch this and it would be corrupt. So she asks, "How? How is it that thou, being a Jew, how can this be? How is this true? The truth and grace of God is set before us, and we ask, how?" The human heart is closed against the things of God, but open to the things of Satan, the world, and the man of the world. How? It gives ready acceptance to these things, but to the truth and grace of God, it asks how. For how is the enemy of faith? It was obvious that this Jew had no vessel or cup to drink from. Now, Jesus planned that. I don't know whether they carried something on their belt, but Jesus planned not to have a cup. So there would be a need expressed to this woman. She knew that the strict Jew would share no vessel with a Samaritan and a woman at that, and asking a favor of this type was astonishing, and it displayed unexpected goodwill by Jesus Christ. The Lord was gracious to a woman who was not used to grace, for she was a woman who was used to scorn. And I'll stop there at verse 10. For Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Have you received the living water of Jesus Christ? What a gift that is. What a wonderful thing that is to drink the living water and never, never, never thirst again.
It is interesting that word, verse 10 says, knewest the gift of God is the word charis, which is also translated grace. And very, very important to see that picture given in that particular place that the Lord Jesus Christ suspended the norm of hatred because this is a different race than me. And he showed his love. And that's the way we are supposed to be as well. Thank you, Mr. Opeger. Appreciate that. Amen.